this is Patrick from the Fundamental Principle. I'm here with Jerome. How are you doing, sir?
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen. Amen. So we're going to be talking about the conclave right today, and we're going to be talking about who we think is going on, what's going on in Rome right now, thoughts and opinions. I do want to open up with a prayer real quick, and then we'll kind of get into the discussion of it. We're going to go through Francis's history, and then we're going to go through different people that we think are going to be the next pontiff. I don't even know what you want to call it if you're a son of a contest. But in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, may the Lord be in my mind, on my lips, and in my heart. Amen. So, opening up, I am not a son of a contest. Like, I understand why some people are, and I sympathize with, I can get their opinion. I'm not, like, against it. I'm not, like, gonna spurg out. But, like, I'm not one. I don't know where you want to stand with that, Jerome.
I'm a firmly convinced, non-convinced person, insofar as like I believe that the set of 1958 Civic Contest have a lot of really valuable stuff to say. I've learned a lot from the late Bishop Daniel Dolan,
Father Chiquita.
Bishop Williamson. Bishop Williamson, of course, was a personal hero. His Excellency and runs the Most Holy Trinity Seminary in I can look at him now. He's the Roman Catholic Institute bishop. He's a former SSPX priest, and of course the CRMI. I'm sympathetic to a lot of what they had to say. I've learned a lot about the faith from them. I'm not enough of a theologian to say definitively one way or the other who's right or who's wrong. I'm a firmly convinced Ben of a contest in that I believe, whether it was because, as Dr. Ed Mazza and Anne Barnhart say, that Benedict had drank too much of the modern philosophy Kool-Aid German stuff and was deeply confused by the nature of the papacy because of his poor formation and bad philosophy. Like, okay, I opened that idea. And of course there's the other side of the coin that the John Paul II's University of Dominum Gregis apostolic constitution outlines pretty clearly that, like, canvassing for the votes for the office of Holy Father before the conclave incurs a latete sententiae excommunication. And I think it was in Cardinal Gottfried de Niels, the cardinal in Belgium, who was like an avowed just total modernist scumbag, St. Gallen guy, that he talked about, you know, doing just that for Bergoglio in his like the first edition of his biography, I think by Austin Ivory, the professional forensic apologist. And then it all got pulled because, like, people went, wait a minute, you just admitted to something that, like, would incur an excommunication. I think Patrick Coffin is a notable exemplar of that particular theory. It doesn't really matter to me. I mean, it matters, right? Because the truth matters. But, like, just as an example, right? I mean, I feel for people who feel like they lost a father in Pope Francis, but this is just a brief recap of his career from the fellow Stephen Cox on Twitter. A brief review of Francis' record. Who am I to judge? Make a mess. Approved Holy Communion for adulterers. Go to the Pontifical Academy for Life. Permitted the Chinese Communist Party to select bishops in China. So reversing the...
I would kind of defend this on principle. I am for nations picking their own bishops. That's been allowed in England, France, Spain. It wasn't allowed in Poland, or it wasn't allowed in Germany. But on the principle, I think Rome shouldn't be dictating.
I think that us relitigating the investiture conference controversy, you know, 1500 years later, or 1000 years later, but certainly Chinese communists are completely different than ordained Christian princes.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, so the communist Chinese, right, get to predict their own bishops, shamed Catholics into taking the abortion-tinted COVID-19 shot, talked about, participated in the Pachamama ceremony in the Vatican Gardens, told Muslims to cling to the faith your parents instilled in you, instructed an 8-year-old girl not to convince her friends of the Catholic faith, committed that proselytism is solemn nonsense, honored Martin Luther in 2017 with a Vatican stamp, said a grave sin against ecumenism to convert the Orthodox, received a blessing from Anglican layman Justin Welby, who's Jewish, approved a blessing of active homosexual couples, taught the death penalty is not Catholic, contradicting thousands of years of Catholic teaching and the scriptures, named pro-LMNOP clergy cardinals, gave audiences to homosexual laypersons, and hosted trainees at the Vatican. I think tranny prostitutes. Praised abortionist Emma Bonino as one of Lily's forgotten greats, attacked multiple traditional Catholic communities and greatly restricted the Latin Mass, told families with large numbers of children that are breeding like rabbits, converted, covered up for McCarrick, and rehabilitated sexual deviant Marco Rupnik, who was even the Jesuits throughout, provided moral cover for open borders politicians who are importing Muslims into Europe at, you know, breakneck pace to destroy its Christian heritage, and covered for the mass immigration in the United States. Offered his latest suffering for fraternity on people, nothing of God, and was praised by Italian Freemasons. Oh. You know, this is not even a deep dive or anything. This is not, you know, this is just like off the top of my head with a little bit of help from this one other person. How bad this guy was. He was terrible. He was awful. You know, the occasional good things he did, like promoting, I believe he promoted the Sacred Heart devotion, and he was, to his great credit, he was.
He stood against Zionists, and
yeah, he stood against Zionists, and was stayed in touch with the suffering Christians in Gaza. Like, those are both good things, but he's a Peronist, right? This is the thing that people have to understand about Peron and Peronism, is that in post-revolution Argentina, right, you had communists and you had fascists, and they both wanted to change things, and Peron would say to the communists, you know, in the morning, I agree with you, and in the fascists, in the afternoon, I agree with you, right? So, you know, whatever good things Francis did, you know, by your fruits you shall know them, right? If a real genuine pope with a heart for the people and a zeal to spread the faith was in Rome, and I'm not talking about John Paul II, I'm not talking about Benedict XVI, they're both off in their own different ways, don't get it twisted here, I'm not apologizing for either one of them. But a real genuine pope in the mold of like a Pius X or a Leo XIII would take up those same threads of advocacy and truth that they both did, and just talk about how liberalism is trash, how it's inherently evil, right? How it's destroying the West, how it's destroying the faith, and bring back the old mass and the old forms of ordination, the old sacraments, the old, like, the only place the church is growing is in the traditional movement. Like, a plurality of the people in France who still go to mass are traditionalist. You know, Catholics outnumber the Anglicans in England for the first time in like 500 years, because what's the point of going to Anglican church? You can just listen to the BBC and get the same stuff. So what's the point, right, of you know, oh yeah, Pope Francis is super based on the whole homosexual, like, calling the homosexual agenda perversion.
Or like, I know he said faggot a bunch of times, but it's like, same time that he's promoting people into positions of authority, like Cardinal Serrano, Serrano, which is, you know, annually hosted the LGBT of Italia, Christian group. So it's I don't care if he says slurs about people. There's too many fags in seminary. It doesn't matter. What is he doing? He's promoting people that are against the Latin Mass. He's promoting people against tradition. He's promoting people that are for sodomy.
Right. So to give you an idea, go to collegeofcardinalsreport.com slash where they stand
I can put it in the show notes.
Yeah, yeah, but just the Cardinals report, like this wonderful website that gives just people an idea where things are, right? And it has ordaining female deacons, blessing same-sex couples, making priestly celibacy optional, restricting the old mass, and the secret China accords. Okay, like a bare minimum standard of like, are you actually a Catholic? Like, how are you ambiguous as Cardinal Carlos Aguiarretes is about ordaining female deacons? Like, what's there ambiguous about it? You know, Saint Veronica, Saint Mary Magdalene, Our Blessed Lady, if they weren't fit to be ordained deacon, certainly no one in, you know, the worst catechized generation in the history of the church is. Something like 96%. I saw a figure recently. I can't cite exactly where, but like, we're talking about people who do not understand the creed. They are either like Monophysites or Arians. The vast majority of people who, you know, even go to mass, they do not understand the basic Christological stuff of the creed. And we're supposed to be like, oh, well, what they think matters. And these churchmen who were raised by these people and live in this culture, like they know better than St. Peter. Like if women were fit to be ordained a deacon, St. Peter would have ordained the Blessed Lady deacon.
Yeah, I mean there was plenty of holy women that engaged with Christ daily.
Right. Yeah. Or you know, St. Catherine of Siena would have been ordained. No. She was a laywoman. She was a third order Dominican. She wasn't even a sister. Right? And she's a doctor of the church. So if she's not fit to be a deacon.
Yeah.
Right? And of course, like, she's the great saint, and she's a better, holier, wonder, better person than I will ever be, most likely. But the fact that it's even ambiguous, you know, of the 41 so-called papabile, right, like, Besungu, Retes, Jean-Marc Aveline, Brislin is for it. Erdo is unknown, right? Like, how hard is it to say, I think it's a bad idea? You know, Victor Manuel Fernandez, you know, like, he's ambiguous about it. Filoni, like... The only proper response to any of these, and I only bring this up because it's worth talking about, right? You have to be against, just to like reach the basic like peasant Catholicism in the time of St. Pius X. You've got to be against ordaining female deacons, blessing same-sex couples, making priestly celibacy optional, restricting the true mass, and secret accords with communist governments who are buying you off. So of the so-called 41 papabile, right, and Burke, you know, had all those years of people, like, he absolutely knows the arguments of Barnhart or the arguments of Patrick Coffin. Like, he's an American. He knows the legal issues. He's the number one canon lawyer in the church, or was at one time, you know, the head of the Roman Rota. He's a outstanding canon lawyer. He understands that, like, these people are antinomian. You know, Jean-Claude Hallrich is for all of those things, right? Gerhard Mueller is against all those things, but he's, you know, kind of a modernist. Like, these are not great people that are like, oh, this is the Pius X. Like, this will be a Leo XIV or a Pius the.
I don't know if any of these modern men are could be considered illiberal, or, you know, something of tradition. Even Sarah, like, Sarah affirms the Holocaust. Sarah affirms the I'm going to read this quote because I think it's important. He calls it the Shoah, first of all. He doesn't call it the Holocaust. He calls it the Shoah. The will to exterminate the Jewish people, God's chosen people. Sarah insists that he branded the entire, has branded the entire history of humanity, The show was the greatest scandal of humanity, the greatest crime of modern history.
Yeah, well, and that's right. Like, this is, you know, the great Bishop Williamson. Like, this is the basis of a new religion. It is not Catholicism. And most of these people are not Catholics. This is, you know, oh, who are you to tell that a prince of the church, Christoph Cardinal Schönborn, like, he's not a Catholic. Well, he's for blessing same-sex couples, he's for ordaining female deacons, and he's for making priestly celibacy optional. And I'm old enough, because I'm old as dirt, remembering when Schönborn was, you know, this arch-conservative under John Paul II. Like, no, he's just a political animal who doesn't...
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Sure. Like, these men don't have convictions. Like, if they had convictions, they'd be said of a Contis or traditionalist with the Society of St. Pius X, or they'd have said something in public that got them in trouble.
And then they'd be removed. Like... Even Benedict, like he wasn't any like staunch conservative, or
he was a thoroughgoing modernist. Like a lot of his, like he was a Peretti at the council with suit and tie. Like, you know, I'm not the best traditionalist apologist out there, but there's plenty of people who have out there who would tell you all about like the problems that Benedict had as a modernist, and he had all these like Hegelian ideas and about splitting the moonus of the Petrine Sea, and you know, like he just wasn't this arch traditionalist. He just wasn't insane, or he saw how bad the council was and how bad the fruit of the council was, and he doesn't you know, he maybe repented of it later, but like you have to be actively illiberal. We need a Pius the 15th or Pius the 13th. You know, we need a Leo,
and we're, you know, really, we need a Leo, we're really trying not to bring into like the modern, you know, we say liberal, we could say conservative, but we really mean heterodox or orthodox. And it's like we're so in the spectrum of heterodox, like we can't even begin to talk about what is orthodox, because all these people are just heterodox. We're so deep. These are just old men that live in the shadow of the Holocaust, and there's no other, like the youngest guy, what, Pizza Bala, is 60 years old, so right born right during the cultural revolutions going on all over the world,
right, and even Pizza Bala is like pro Israel, like bro, you've seen Israelis for the last year 2 years kill your flock.
Where is he? Where did you see that he was pro Israeli?
Oh, like he offered to like take the place of an Israeli hostage, and he talked about how Israel deserves a right to exist, and
I didn't know that. Yeah.
You know, like no, like Israel, as Pius X says, like when Theodore Herzl talked to him, like, no, we cannot allow Israel to exist. You deny the kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ. We must deny you the legitimacy of your evil, you know, Judeo-Satanic state. Like, Israel is evil, full stop. Look at it. They're just they're killing kids.
Yeah. But yeah, we can kind of go through some of these. I don't know. Do you have any is there the best of the worst? Where are you at with that?
Best of the worst, like again, like I'm not, you know, I would sooner believe that 1958 set of a contest are right than like, you know, Togli is like a legit pope, right?
Sure.
Right. Sure. You know, singing like dressed like a fat dad on a golf trip, singing Imagine, like you're a prince of the church, and like you posted it to the, but like, oh my gosh, right? This is not even.
So. I you know, I'm more in the favor of Pizza Bala as the best of the worst. Because he understands the Jewish problem, as he might say cringe things, and you know, about Israel or Israelis, but I think like,
right,
he's still against, you know, promoting, you know, same the blessing the same sex couples. He's against, banning of the traditional mass. You know what I mean? So it's like the core, those two are kind of the main components that I'm looking for. Like, we're not going to see Cardinal Mueller get in. We're not going to see an American get in. Like, they're too afraid of Trump to let an American get in, or anyone like really serious get in. They're not going to let Sarah in.
No.
I mean, I think they're, I mean, they're, I've seen big talks of Pizza Bala, and then Erdo, and then Paroli. Seems to be the most popular three. I know the media wants Tengili, but I'm like, that's no way. That's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
He's just
Let's
way.
talk about those three real quick, right? Like, so Erdo is the primate of Hungary. He's ambiguous about deacons, against same-sex blessings, unknown on
Priestly celibacy.
ambiguous on the mass, ambiguous on the China Accords, right? And then Cardinal Secretary of State, Pietro Parolin, right? Like, he's again, he hates the old mass. He's pro China. He's ambiguous about making priestly celibacy optional because then he'd have to marry a girl, and that would be gross.
He's I bring him up as like the next top guy because he was like what second place to Francis in
Yeah, he
2013.
something like that. Well, he's the Cardinal Secretary of State, so that's like the number two role of the Vatican, really.
But
And
he is also like a not with 93 years old, so
he's 70.
okay.
Yeah,
Ooh.
he's 70.
Gotcha. There's an older guy that I was thinking of, but still, like I think the other mindset there could do is like they have an older guy in and then they pick somebody out, like he dies, so it's a short term and they pick somebody else for
Right.
more profitable times.
Yeah, Christel Schönborn is Archbishop Emeritus of Vienna, and he's 80,
Okay.
for instance, you know. But he was, you know, he was the former you know, like, doctrinal chief under Jean Paul II, I think. So
And then I don't think we need to go through Tengili,
no, Togli is terrible.
Togli.
Yeah, him doing his best impression of like a drunk dad at karaoke night, like Filipino, able to resist karaoke, like not happy.
Sure, absolutely. But
Yeah.
like as a Filipino, why I don't understand like why he's is for China at all, or why he backs the CCP at all.
Yeah, like Schönborn, for instance, was instrumental in the 94 catechism, but, you know, like, that catechism is not, anyway, it's not very good. Yeah, so Tagle is not that great. And here's the truth, right? Like, I don't know if it depends on who you ask and depends on what kind of criteria you use, but like, a significant chunk, certainly a majority, probably an overwhelming majority of people in the pews on Sunday do not understand the creed in the sense that the Holy Fathers of the Church wrote it.
Or even if Catholics understood it 200 years ago.
Yeah, they have basic, like, Christological problems of, like, they're Arians or they're Monophysites, or they don't have, like, you know, a substantial number of Vangies in the world today, evangelicals are like Christological heretics that were dealt with, you know, in the first seven ecumenical councils 1500 years ago, right? And instead of talking about that, right, how many of these guys, you know, oh, we gotta crush the traditionalists, they're creating their own separate church. Like, maybe those people are just worried about the fact that, like, in the Novus Ordo Paris, their children that like basic Christological errors are permitted, and so they go to the traditional parish because they don't want their children to, like, lose the faith or be heretics. Like it's really that simple. Like the reason I tratted years ago isn't, I mean, I understand that it was like superior liturgically and aesthetically and all that other stuff. But the main reason I tratted years and years ago was, you know, I got married in my 20s. By the time I was 35, you know, more than 10 years ago now, right? I had kids. I was a grown man. Most of the people I'd gone to CCD with weren't married, didn't have kids, and stopped going to Mass.
I remember my CC, my, I don't know if it was CCD or, yeah, I think that's what it was called when I went through. As I remember my proctor, you know, saying, well, we could have female priests in my lifetime. I think you should be excited about that. And I'm like, this, I didn't have the language to understand, like, why that's retarded.
Yeah.
As being, a 13-year-old. I'm like, okay, bud.
Right. Yeah, and people just don't understand the fact, you know. So, you know, Pete Zabala is against ordained female deacons. Good for him, like, basics. Blessing same-sex couples, ambiguous. Celibacy optional, ambiguous. Restricting the old Mass against, and ambiguous about the China thing. Like,
they're also ambiguous because, like, he hasn't made comments about it.
Right, yeah. I'm sorry. There's a whole other set of issues. Promoting Synodal Church, focusing on climate change, reassessing Humanae Vitae, right? Like, community for the divorced and remarried, and German Synodal Way. Like, you have to be against all of this stuff.
Yeah.
It's not even, like, the Synodal Church. What's the point of a Synodal Church? Let's just go be Orthodox then.
Yeah.
You know? Focusing on climate change versus, like, you know, millions of souls apostatizing or going to hell because they don't understand that, you know, like they openly reject things that are necessary for salvation, like the necessity of the sacraments or like whatever you want to, like, reassessing Humanae Vitae. Humanae Vitae was like, a rather, like, it wasn't as strong as it could have been. It's not Casti Canubi. It's not.
Right? So, for those who don't know, the Humanae Vitae is the reaffirming of the Catholic Church's teaching on the use of artificial conception. As evil, and has been reasserted in the recent lights of Pope Francis, suggesting a more flexible approach. It is a teaching in light of today's complex personal situations. My big argument against in vitro fertilization is, like, I don't want my kid to act like Nick Fuentes. His parents,
strong argument.
His parents, I don't know. That could be uncharitable for me to say, but it's like his parents did that to him for whatever reason. And I think his sister was normal. But, like, I just, like, if that's what they act like, the case in point, Nick Fuentes.
Like, it's an intrinsically evil, right? And, like, Megyn Kelly, you know, the American Fox News babe person who's now has her own, you know, she's divorced from her actual husband, married another dude, you know, got a so-called annulment, right? And then had three kids via IVF, and she talks about how she's a Catholic. Like, no, I'm sorry, lady. Like, you made three Franken kids and killed who knows how many embryos in the process of having the three kids you had because you were a boss babe who went to law school and then was on the news. Like, no, this is right.
I'm okay, you know, with just like women who get divorced not having a public opinion. Like, let's
absolutely not. Like, no, you should stop talking now, right? Like, and in fact, right, like, community for divorced and remarried, if they can receive communion, what about me? Like, you know, not to make it all about me, but what about all the people who, like, actually follow the church's teaching on marriage? What are you saying to all those people?
That you have one freebie.
Right, like, oh, you get one do-over? Like, what is this, fourth grade? You know, like, oh, do-over. Right? You know?
I mean, like, so, I believe in one flesh. That's the whole point. I don't understand how you can be one flesh with more than one person. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Right. That, you know, like, and so there's all these issues where, or the German Synodal Way, where, like, again, the worst catechized generation in the history of the church is going to tell priests, bishops, and, like, oh, you know, Thomas Aquinas and Robert Bellarmine, they're wrong, and I'm right because I like have feelings and stuff. Like, what? No, this is, you know, and most of these cardinals probably don't want to hear this, but the church is at least 80% people, at least. Hear me now very carefully. And I'm not saying I'm not. It is at least 80% of the people in the pews would not have qualified as Catholic under Pius X.
That's pretty heavy.
Right. And, you know, we've talked about this before, but like, if at your job, 80% of your work product was crap, Patrick, do you think you'd stay in that job for more than
Like 100? I'd be let go that day. You know what I mean? You know, a couple of days worth of like, 22% pass rate, or, you know, 9% pass rate on what I weld or fabricate, I'm gone.
Right. And in fact, even if the inverse was true, right? Like, dude, 1 part in 10 that you're putting out is bad. What's going on?
Yeah, right. Absolutely. No, absolutely. I'm...
Like one part in five you're putting out is bad. You're only batting, you know, like, no, you'd be like, your boss would talk to you. Like, what, you know, like Whiskey Tango Foxtrot there, pal. What's going on? Right. Absolutely. And, you know, someone would have a problem.
Absolutely.
And that's the thing that these churchmen don't want to talk about. It's like, look, man, the only people who actually believe anything that you know, don't believe in promoting a synodal church are docile to what the princes, you know, the princes and bishops say. I'll be perfectly honest. I've gotten in trouble with people before for saying this, but let's be honest, right? For most of these bishops and cardinals, right? In 1978, if you wanted to be a man in a dress, the only way to do that and sing Broadway show tunes and dress just in fabulous chasubles, look at all this lace, it's so pretty, is for them to be priests. And that's most of these guys, you know.
I mean, Taylor, this has also been a struggle with the church for, you know, Peter Damian talks about, St. Peter Damian talks about this 1,000 years ago.
Yeah. Well, like, but if you don't think that this is like the worst crisis since the pornocracy, at least, or probably like the Arian crisis or worse, you're just in la la land.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's not a new issue. It's an issue that they refuse to. How do you really, unless you're just going to start executing people, you know, like, oh, you broke, you had sex with a minor, or you had sex with a male prostitute as a cardinal. Like, hey, you had to be removed and or maybe executed under Vatican law.
Certainly stripped. Like, you need to be laicized and kicked out.
I mean, yeah. But it's like, you know, what else are they going to do? This has just been a longstanding issue. You know, it's a place for you don't have to be a hard man to be a priest. You can be a soft man and be a priest. And that's a big excuse, you know, a big issue with medieval kings or medieval princes. They would send their like effeminate second son to the priesthood. Cause it's like, yeah, they're not going to lead the kingdom. They're not going to be strong enough to lead the kingdom. They're not going to be strong enough to take over business. So, you know, what do you do with these people that are a little bit more effeminate? And obviously, you know, not put them in the priesthood, but yeah, that needs to be something that is talked about and that needs to be discussed.
Yeah, well, and not only does this need to be talked about, but like for their own souls. For the people in the pews who do not believe what the church teaches and do not teach what the church believes, they need to be told the door is that way.
Or they were at least refused to learn.
Right. Like, you know, like Cardinal Zuppi, right? Promotes the synodal church, focuses on climate change, you know, believes in reassessing human mind of ethic, believes in communion for the divorced and remarried. Like, what, in what meaningful sense is this guy Catholic? You know? He's, you know, oh, he's against ordaining female deacons. Based.
I mean, that's like, and it's like, that's cool if like, okay, we can't let that be the standard. Okay. as we mentioned before, you know, Francis said faggot. Okay, cool. But like we can't.
But he didn't. Like, yeah. But he didn't say nigger faggot.
Okay. Yeah. So true. But you know, I mean, it's just because like, they're right on one thing, but they're wrong on everything else. Like it's not. They're not based. They're not like this. Like, oh, you're a champion of the people. Anybody who affirms the Holocaust is like, man, I don't want you around any power. I don't. And it's just, I don't know.
Well, because it's a basis of a new religion.
Yeah.
Basis of a new religion that's not Catholic. It's in fact, actively anti-Catholic. You know, to tease a little bit, both Patrick and I have, you know, a book. We're going to be going over some of the more pressing questions from, a archbishop who was a member of the SS, right? Like that's the standard.
Yeah.
Not this new modern, you know, reconciling the world unto itself. Well, the world, you know, liberalism, the basis of liberalism is rejecting the Catholic faith. Whether it's John Locke or Rousseau or Descartes or any of these people, you go back into their philosophy, and at the basis of their philosophy is a rejection of the Catholic faith. Period.
Yeah. I don't know what else needs to be said.
I mean, we
kind of covered our bases.
Right. And Leo Cardinal Burke, who, right, like he's ostensibly got all the right issues, right? He's against the synodal way. He's against communion for the divorced and remarried. He's against reassessing a mandate, you know, all blah, 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 blah. Like, okay, but where did he ever stand up? He's got a red hat for reason. He's supposed to be a martyr. He's supposed to just say, you know what, I don't care. Crucify me next to our Lord Jesus Christ. Make me a martyr. So what? Why are anons on the internet braver than these princes of the church? Yeah. Why is Taylor Marshall braver than all of these people? Why is Timothy Gordon braver than all of these people?
And they're old men. I don't know. Like, what else do they have to lose? Like,
right. Okay. It's not like what? They're going to take your kids away? Like, they're going to bankrupt you? Like, who cares?
I don't understand. Like, and it's something I'm struggling with. Like, why aren't the old men some of the bravest men that we have? Like, young and dumb is one thing, but it's like you've lived entirely your life with all these injustices. But it's like, and you're like, you're got one foot in the grave. And you're like, oh no, I don't. I just keep my head down. You've been keeping your head down your whole life. What's the point?
Like, you know, there are people in the CDF doing cocaine and gay orgies, and you said nothing. In the Holy Office, right? Like under Francis.
Gross.
I mean, it is gross, but like, true. And nothing was done about it. Like, who was thrown out? Who was, you know, like,
yeah,
you know,
or even you know? Like, where's the YouTube video? I mean, there's what Bishop, what's his face, hangs out with the bodybuilders. I can't think of his name.
Baron, yeah, like
he's on YouTube. Why isn't he talking about any of this stuff? Why? I mean, why? I mean, like we can kind of discuss a bishop hanging out with bodybuilders another time. But like he's the big YouTube guy, you know why? Like, this is not being discussed at all,
right?
And they don't want to offend, and it's just like they don't want to offend anybody. And like, what's the like? That's not. Correct me if I'm wrong, but our good Lord was happily okay with offending people who sinned against God, and offended God, and disgraced the temple.
Right, like he literally chased the chief priest the cardinals and archbishops of his day, he built a weapon and beat them and threw them out of the church. You know, the equivalent of St. Peter's, I don't know if he threw the high priest out, but like he built a whip.
A leather whip. Like, I don't know if you've done any leather work at all. Leather work takes time. It's just, but then you know, it's time weaving things. Sewing things together, it just takes time. It takes a lot of time.
So he just sat there, mad, angry, braiding for hours and hours and hours. And then he just started whipping people, throwing over tables and whipping people. You know, imagine our Lord, you know, the week before he's crucified, the people who were mad at him said, you know, the same people said, we want him. We want the Son of the Father instead of this guy. right? The guys screaming the loudest were the guys that still had a welt on their shoulder or their back from our Lord whipping them for turning the house of God into a place of prostitution.
They were screaming Barabbas the loudest.
And you know, call me crazy, but, you know, I'll call out a couple people here. Deacon Nick Donnelly might be right about the Pope being, or, you know, Francis not being Pope, or Gavin Ashenden, the Jewish convert, you know, or a couple other people who were really mad at the, you know, folks for talking to Father Maudsley. Okay, look. The Israelis have been killing people for 2 years, for a year, 18 months. Killing Christian kids, bombing Christian churches, bombing Christian hospitals. If you don't think that the same evil dirtbags who condemned our Lord and persecuted the church and destroyed Christian Europe in both world wars are, like, not only not deserving of, like, Christian praise and all this other stuff, but, like, if you're not against that, you're not a Christian. Okay? If you, and this is, you know, Patrick's too worried about the Holocaust. No. He's not worried enough about it, because it's the base of a new and different and completely anti-Christian religion. Only Judaism and modernism are explicitly anti-Catholic. You can be a Confucian and affirm many of the things that
you used to be Catholic. A Confucian or a Buddhist or whatever, and still be against abortion.
Yeah, you can affirm lots of true things having these non-Christian religions. Only Judaism and only liberalism are explicitly based off of a rejection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Period. Full stop.
I think that really kind of covers all the bases today. Is there anything you want to cover?
No, I think that people need to be very prepared to be. I will say one last thing. More than likely, we're going to get a terrible, like, there are no good options as Pope. You know, Bishop Williamson is not the Pope. Even someone like
Bishop Sanborn, the CMRI.
They're not options. Or Bishop Schneider, right? Like, he's okay on most things, but he's not great on everything. Like, you know, he's still liberal. A serious movement right now, a serious traditionalist movement, would ordain 3 bishops for every continent and prepare for the influx, because in 10 years the Novus Ordo is not going to exist. Okay, there's no money, the government money's going to run out, boomers are not, you know, they're not going to support the church once they're gone. They'll give all their money to, you know, pets or symphony orchestras or something else, right? They're, you know, like, by the time, you know, today's first graders are 30, the church is going to be 1/5 the size of it is right now. And so don't count on these people to save your faith or, you know, like, too many right wingers want the Caesar to come in on a horse and solve all their problems, so they don't know they can go back to grilling and not worrying about it. Like, no, you need to be a fascist.
We say that, but it's like, you know, we need more phalanges than we do. We need anybody else. We need the Catholic fascist. We need where would Franco be without his phalanges?
Nowhere. He'd have died. He'd have lost. Yeah. You need to be, you know, not only fit, but well educated, and you need to depend on yourself, because, you know, pretending, you know, Cardinal Pizzaballo is going to be super based and bring back the Latin Mass and condemn Israel and, like, no. Like, the best you can hope for is that he doesn't hopelessly screw things up. And most likely we're going to get somebody like a Tagli or somebody else. Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to get Tagli. I think we're just going to get some, like, Erdo, some, like, Noné or some not in the spotlight, but it's he's going to be stabilizing the church.
I think so.
I don't think we're not going to get any like these big names that are coming out. I guess last thing we can talk about is conspiracy theories. We kind of touched on a little bit, but like, what do you think the Peter of Rome, was it the Molly or what was his last name? This is going to be the last pope after Francis.
I don't know, man.
Peter, we're supposed to.
Affirm, the Malachi prophecies.
I forget. Malachi prophecies, that affirms the what's it called, the Fatima, that we're going to finally see the falling away of the churches. We're going to see. How much do you believe in that? How much I don't know anything about it. I for the most part I kind of condemn conspiracy theorists.
I'm not against conspiracy theories as such. Like, they really are poisoning the water to make the frogs gay. Like, you can see that. Like, you know, they really sure, do. Yeah. Like, there's
some, like, legitimacy, but there's like crazy ones where it's just,
you like, know Israel, I mean, did kill JFK, and they are, like, there are pedophiles who are in charge, satanic pedophiles who are in charge of everything. Like, those are all just like verifiable facts.
Absolutely.
Do I think that, like, the earth is flat and that earth is hollow and hyper, like, no, probably not.
But there's more of that than there is anything like serious, anything, you know what I mean? So that's kind of where, and also, I don't know, we can kind of talk about this. I think the idea of like undermining, morality or the government, well, you know, conspiracy means breathing together. So if you're like looking to work with other people to breathe together against a Christian society, like that mindset needs to be shut down. That those people that are willing to, like, hey, there's something that's wrong, we need to undermine what's going on. I think that needs to be put
down.
Well,
like the St. Gallen thing, right? Like literally a bunch of satanic faggots got together. You know, we have James Grine, who talked about, like, you know, McCarrick and all of his buddies that were at St. Gallen. They're all gay. They all you know, the Winsip House type stuff from Malachi Martin. You know, like does that exist? Yeah, like we have proof of that. That's not a conspiracy theory, that's a conspiracy fact. Now, what do you do about that? Like, you just, well, okay, you go through this same steps Peter Davy went through. You throw out all the perverts from the episcopacy. You radically screen people who are coming into the church. You throw people out who aren't trustworthy. You start stripping people of their power. You know, like you do the hard work of, like, you know, the young pope type stuff where Jude Law is like asking, you know, cardinals, like, are you a homosexual, Your Eminence? And then, like, you know, having them arrested and thrown out. Like, that's what you just do.
We definitely need another Inquisition, sure. And that would clear a lot of things up.
Right.
But I, you know, other than that, like, I think we covered all bases. We'll see. I think it's gonna be a relatively short, conclave. I can't imagine this lasting more than a week, let alone, you know, 3 days.
I don't think it will either. I think that, let's not forget that, like, every one of these guys that's, you know, a flaming liberal into the church, whether it's a Tagli or a Burke or Zuppi or Perelin, right? Like, they're all as ideological as I am.
Yeah.
Right? To the extent that, like they've been ambiguous about something, it's because they don't want to, like,
talk about it. They just, they're like, okay, well,
they don't want to be on the record, right?
Yeah, like, this is going to be an unpopular opinion. Let's not talk about it. Sure.
Yeah. And to the extent that, like, okay, well, if they you know, do get somebody who's awful, like a Turkson or a Zuppi or a Perelin or whatever, like, just ignore him harder, right? Like continue going to the old mass, you know, continue ignoring these people and continue just understanding, like, this is not a Catholic person. He cannot be Pope if he's not Catholic. And if you think that, like, ordaining female deacons is okay, you're not Catholic. You're not, like, you're no more in a position to tell me, like, what to do as a Catholic than you would be to tell me, like, how to get to the moon. Because, like, you watched Apollo 13 one time. Like, no. Like, right? Like, you lack the fundamental qualification to make expert pronouncements. Well, you're just a layperson. Well, yeah, okay, I am a layperson, but I'm
I can tell the grass is green and the sky's blue.
Right. Well, I might be a layperson, but I'm not standing on my own authority. I'm not standing on the authority of St. Pius V and St. Pius X and St. Peter and like every holy pope and every doctor of the church from like before last week, and like in my own eyes going, okay, well, this guy's obviously like something changed in the church, and this guy believes that, you know, butt marriage is okay. Like, what? Right. Like, somebody is wrong, and it's either every pope prior to last week or this guy. What's more likely?
Yeah. Would you close us out with a Our Father, Hail Mary, and Glory Be, please?
I'd be happy to. And I hope everyone had a good Easter, and I want to thank all our listeners for their continued support and listenership. It means quite a bit to us personally, and just we think the project is necessary, so your support is a great moral buoy to us when things get difficult. So, nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritui Sancti. Amen. Pater noster qui es in Caeli, sanctificetur nomen tuum, adventit regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in Caelo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum, quod da nobis hoie, et debiti nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos debitoribus nostris, et nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri, et Filii, et Spiritui Sancti. Sicut erat in principio, et nunc et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. Gloria Patri, et Filii, et Spiritui Sancti. Amen. Thank you, dear listener, and have a happy Easter from Patrick and I. Fundamental principles.